Do you realize that all this web stuff that we've seen, this entire cornucopia of web everything, is really, judged from the browser, about 7,000 days old? We're just in the first infancy of this thing.
When people start experimenting with this, they can't put it down. They become obsessed with it. Is that a good thing?
Yes, I think obsession is a very natural phase that people go through. It's particularly prevalent among adolescents, and it's a way of exploring. You have a lot of time. You kind of go deep. You can play. You don't have any destination. It's kind of a waste of time, but actually wasting time is one of the best things the Internet does.
Kevin, you call your work What Technology Wants. What does that mean?
It means that technology as a system, and I'm not talking about the iPhone in your pocket and the steam iron in your closet or the automobile as individuals. I'm talking about all these things connected together, you know, the thousands of technologies that it takes to make your iPhone and the hundreds of technologies to make each one of those thousands. It forms kind of like an ecosystem of technologies, and that whole system itself, that's what I call the technium, exhibits certain behaviors that the parts, individuals, the iPhone does not. And so that thing, that whole system, that super organism of technology exhibits certain behaviors, and that's what I'm interested in.
And James, tell me about your ideas and how they mesh with Kevin's.
Well, one of the things that Kevin said in his book, which I really did appreciate, that was that my work was the only other one other than his own that really tries to create a linkage between the cosmic trends that we see in the universe and the evolution of species, and now the evolution of what Kevin calls the technium, that there's a deep linkage between the laws and constants of nature and this tendency of inert matter to essentially self-organize, first into life and now into a technological civilization.
Well, this inert matter that seems to be doing that, it's fueled by man, I would guess. It's not going to happen by itself, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think we're kind of the scaffold species. You know, the kind of current idea is that the opposable thumb might have been really helpful in the development of intelligence. But, of course, once you have intelligence, you don't need a thumb anymore. And so there is a sense in which we are kind of the reproductive organs of technology right now. But I think as time goes on, this thing that we're making will have more autonomy. And autonomy is, of course, not a binary thing. It's not either there or not there. There's little bits of it. It's a continuum. And so there's a little bit of autonomy in technology right now. There will be more so over time. But we are part of that thing that we're making.
When I was a kid, Kevin and James, I would hear stories of people saying, you're going to have a television one day that will be very, very thin, and it'll fit on your wall. And I said, no, there's no way. I mean, that's cool, but that's not going to happen. And look where we are now.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the things we've learned is to believe in the impossible. I mean, I when I first heard about this idea of an encyclopedia that anybody could edit and change any time, it just seemed literally impossible that anybody would, like myself, would ever read it. But here, you know, and so here's Wikipedia, which is impossible in theory, but just possible in practice. And I think the Wikipediaization of the world sort of convinces us to maybe believe in the impossible more often.
Well, and look at the social networks now, the Facebooks and the Twitters, and what they are doing to societies, what they're doing to communication between people. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
And the other thing about that is that this was all said to be impossible, that people would not share things like, you know, intimate photographs. They would not share health information. They would not share financial information. They would not share all kinds of things that people are sharing by the boatload. And so, again, we see that once the tools kind of make these things easy, it changes really our understanding of even what we are and who we are.
Kevin, let's talk about what Jim just mentioned, and that is your thoughts of what is called technium. Explain that a little bit more for us.
Yeah. So like Jim, I was really concerned about what is all this stuff. You mentioned that we're kind of filling our lives with this, with these material goods. We're spending lots of time inventing things or selling things or even buying things, and it seems that sometimes that it seems to be something maybe that's demeaning us. And I was really interested in trying to come across a theory of what technology was. How does it fit into the cosmos? And I think the easiest way to kind of imagine it is that it's an extension of the evolutionary life force. It's an extension of that same force that's moving through, 3.7 years of evolution, that's increasing order, making things more complex over time. And now the technium, the technology that we're making, is an extension, a continuation, an acceleration of that. But it's basically the same force that is working through the universe and now working through us, and is going to go beyond us.
Is this technology taking us in a certain direction that we want to go in?
Well, no, this is controversial. So, first of all, to believe that Darwinian evolution has any direction at all is a minority view. The orthodoxy in evolutionary theory right now is that there's absolutely no direction in evolution, and that if we see some, it's just stuff that we're projecting. It's just kind of what we want to see. There's a minority view by some evolutionary theorists and biologists who say, well, our intuitive sense that things get more complex over 4 billion years is actually correct, that there really is ways to quantify this, and that there are other general directions in evolution. And if that is true, which I believe it is, and I think Jim would also believes that, that the evidence, the scientific evidence, shows that there is a direction, then there also is going to be a direction in the extension of that same force as it moves through the technium. So the question I ask in my book, What Technology Wants, is what is that extended direction that goes through evolution and life and now goes through the technium?
Can we get, Kevin, too technical? Is that possible?
No. And if you mean by we, if you mean human?
Yeah, as if everything we base our lives on are, it's just all technology, everything. I mean, already I've seen, for example, in a drugstore a year ago, their computers went down. So they had to shut down.
Yeah.
They were so technical, they could not operate without their computer system.
Okay. So you mean, can we become too dependent on it? And I would say, yes, we've long ago crossed that threshold. We're dependent on technology. I mean, 50,000 years ago, we remade ourselves to depend upon technology in terms of knives, bows, arrows, cooking, which changed our genetic makeup and our teeth and our jaws. So we have already remade ourselves. When we left Africa and spread around the world, we already were codependent on technology. If there was some kind of, tractor beam that came down from another planet and removed every bit of technology on this planet, I mean, including all the knives and spears, the humans would last 6 weeks. We simply aren't able to function. So we are sort of cyborgian already, dependent on it, and we are becoming more dependent on it. And in that sense, we're kind of symbiotic with technology. And I think we will need it. If it's not there, we're not going to live, but so we'll just make more of it.